All right, we're back, and this is the coaching basics part two. We started looking at the semi-directive. We looked at the directive, we looked at the non-directive. This class really is about semi-directive. And we looked at why it might be a good idea. It might be a good idea because you have a client that is more motivated if they have a more active role, or you might be more directive if you have a client who's already motivated, knows what skill they want to learn, and they're willing to learn. So it just depends on the person, depends on the situation, depends on what you're actually working on. So there's a lot of good reasons why you might use a semi-directive approach, but how would you do it? What exactly is involved in this? So how does semi-directive coaching work? All right, three things coaches do. So this is just a reminder again. Remember what they were? Now, if you took the first class, you should be able to answer this without me telling you. Remember what they are? First one? Decision, okay? Help the client figure out what they want to do. What do you want to do in life? What do you want to do with your parenting? What do you want to do with your marriage? What do you want to do with your career? What do you want to do with all the training that you've received at Christian Leaders Institute? Well, what do you want to do? Secondly, help the client figure out what to do, how to do what they want to do, okay? It's one thing to figure out what you want to do. I want this career, okay? Well, what's the plan to get there? Okay. I want to go to Africa. Okay, that's where you want to go, but how do you get there? You got to have a plan. And then finally, help the client do what they plan to do. In other words, you can make a plan, but often the management of that plan, because, you know, you can make a plan, this is how I'm going to get somewhere, but it never goes that way. There's always bumps and turns in the road. And so what do you do when you hit a bump in the road? What do you do when you come to a turn in the direction? What do you do when things aren't turning out the way you thought they would? How do you stick with it? How many times a day are you going to work at it? How many times a week are you going to work at it? How many hours are you going to give to it? So there's a whole management. Okay, so help the client figure out what they want to do, decision. Help them figure out how to make a plan, and finally help them manage this whole process. Okay, helping the client figure out what they want to do, the decision, in semi-directive coaching, this has already been decided by the coach in some ways. For example, what he or she is offering, or the client who's coming to a particular coach because he or she is an expert in a particular skill. In other words, either the coach is offering a class or something in a particular subject. I'm willing to coach people in this subject, parenting, marriage, career path, whatever it might be. Or a student is now seeking out a coach who is an expert, who knows something about a particular area of life that they already want to pursue. In other words, the decision part, what I want to do as a client, has already been decided. So, I mean, that's a really good one to do this semi-directive coaching. The person doesn't need to have someone sit down and ask, well, what do you want to do? Because they already know what they want to do. And so again, by the way, if you're going to do semi-directive coaching, knowing some things is good. And being known for knowing these things so that people, clients, can seek you out. Or if you put on a class in a particular subject area, look, I'm going to put a class on in parenting. I'm going to have 20 people in this class. And then afterwards, whoever wants to, we're going to do some coaching. By the way, this is a really good way to get the clients. Because you can have a class of 20, 30, 40 people. And then out of that, you're going to actually coach five of them. Take the time to, do the whole process. Okay, so for example, As a coach, I might be interested in offering a class on parenting, marriage, or communication. The client would then take my class, because of this, this is an area that he or she is looking to improve. And then afterwards, I can do something with that. Or, as a client, I may seek out a specific coach because they are expert in a specific area that I'm interested in being coached in. Okay. So, I want to look at the directive part. Let's say I'm going to do a class on parenting. I'm going to do this class on parenting, invite people, parents that want to learn something more about parenting. And the class part is going to be very directive. So I took a bunch of things from my coaching parenting one-credit class. It's a one-credit class. And it talks about attitudes that you want to help your children get as a parent. And it talks about skills that you want to teach your children. By the way, I think this is absolute key. If you're a parent, you need to take these classes just for your own parenting. And then if you're a coach, I mean, this I see this as one of the biggest needs in our world today, is parenting. Parents are like floundering. The culture is just steamrolling over parents. And kids are being influenced by the world around them in a way that we have never seen in human history. And parents are becoming less and less qualified, savvy, understanding, confident with what they're supposed to do. Parents, I think, feel at an all-time loss as to what to do, or insecurity, am I doing the right thing? And so this is just, that's why I picked it as a good example of what I'm talking about. But I'm just, this is sort of an aside. If you're a parent, these are just basic things that you need to understand. All right, so if I'm teaching this class, there's the directive part. So I'm going to teach the attitudes, for example. I'm going to teach the attitudes that every parent needs to try to give to their children. So the first attitude is the I am somebody attitude. You want your child to grow up thinking, I am somebody. I'm not a nobody. I am somebody. And what makes me somebody? How does a kid get that sense that they're somebody? Psalm 139, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It's amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous and how well I know it. Okay, so being somebody as a child of God, okay, that's the attitude that we want our children to have. And how do we do that as parents? So the class will talk about that. These are the ways that you give your kids that sense that they are somebody as a child of God. Not I am somebody because I'm good at sports, or, because I make a lot of money, or because, no, I am somebody as a child of God. I've been gifted, all the reasons that make a child somebody, being a child of God. Okay, then there's the I am needed attitude. Okay, so as parents, how do we give our kids the sense that they're needed? You know, back generations, in the past, kids grew up on the farm and they were needed. The fields had to be done, the cooking, the cleaning, the making candles, all the work that it took just to run a household required everybody to be on deck. But now, how's the child needed? How is your son needed? How is your daughter needed? How do you communicate that so that they grow up thinking that they are a part? I mean, even people in church. Do most people going to church think they're needed at their church? Whenever I meet someone that goes to a huge mega church, I always ask, are you needed? Would you be missed if you weren't there? 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of that. How do we communicate that to our children? that they are a separate and necessary part of this family. They're a separate and necessary part of the church. They're a separate and necessary part of what God is trying to do in the mission of His kingdom. The I am, wrong direction. I am needed. Next one. I can do it attitude. Not the I can't do it. So many kids have the I can't do it attitude. Would you like to try this? No, I can't do it. I mean, I see that in the church. You know, by the time kids that think they can't do anything, by the time they become adults, you know, when you start looking for people to run programs in the church, well, I can't do it. I can't speak. I can't this. I can't share the gospel. I can't. How do you give kids the I can do it attitude? Mark 9:23. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. How do we give our kids that sense that everything is possible? So, you know, in this time, you know, as I'm running this class, I'm teaching. I'm saying this is the different ways that we can do this. The I am not the center attitude. Because so many people, kids, adults, are growing up thinking they're the center of the universe. That I am what it's all about. No. How do we teach kids the I am not the center attitude? I am not what it's all about. Luke 9:23. Then he, Jesus, said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And not turn from it. Okay. How do we give this attitude? So here again, I'm teaching these things. I'm teaching how parents can give kids this attitude. Okay, some skills. The skill of, this is all from the class on parenting. The skill of self-discipline. Okay, if a kid doesn't have self-discipline, he's going to follow the whims of his heart. And that's when we get into troubles. Discipline is the ability to put off today for something better tomorrow. Discipline. And you have to do it. So much of what we do with our kids is not self-discipline, it's external discipline. You know, you go to school, they tell you what to do. They tell you at this hour we do this, at this hour we do that. Then you come home and the parents do the same thing. And then when kids finally get out of the house, get out of school, they can't manage their lives. Why? Because they need someone to tell them what to do. And then they don't want to be told what to do, but they don't know what to do in and of themselves. And so it becomes a life of chaos. Proverbs 20, verse 3, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. That's what discipline is. Discipline is painful sometimes. The skill of communication. There's so much miscommunication now. How do you know what's true? How do you know what's not true? How do you communicate in a positive, winning way that influences people, that leads people? You know what the church is missing or needs today more than anything? Is leaders. People who are willing to step up and say, follow me. Like Paul. You know, I follow Christ. Follow my example as I follow Christ. But you have to learn how to communicate these things that you know. Or no one will follow you. And now a word to you parents, Ephesians 6 verse 4. Don't keep on scolding, nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord himself approves with suggestions and godly advice. So teach them how to communicate. The skill of responsibility. Taking responsibility. We live in a someone should do it for me culture. We live in a it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's the government's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my teacher's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's the culture's fault. But it's not my fault. And so we're all sitting around blaming everything around us. And then who's doing anything positive to change anything? Well, nobody. The only way to take the only way to change anything is to take responsibility in the first place. I take responsibility for what's happening in my family. Now I can do something about it. If I don't take responsibility, then what can I do? I see churches in decline. And then the people that go to these churches, well, you know, we had a bad pastor. Well, we had, you know what? You're responsible. The people that are still there, you are responsible for that church. Take responsibility. Your church is the way it is because of you. See, if you take responsibility, maybe you can do something about it. Well, what is that in parenting? How do you teach that to a child? There are specific ways to actually teach this to a child. By the way, the number one way to teach responsibility to a child is to give them responsibility and then let them experience the consequences of their choices. That's the tough part. Okay. The skill of judgment. Making good judgments. Having this sense of what is right and what is wrong. First of all, a child has to know what is right and what is wrong. And then how to discern when things are a little dicey. Okay, so how do you teach that? Proverbs 3:13, a man who knows right from wrong and has good judgment and common sense is happier than the man who is immensely rich. For such wisdom is far more valuable than precious jewels. Nothing else compares with it. Okay, so let's say you've taken this class. You've taught this class to some parents. These attitudes, these skills. Okay, now what? How do you know, you started off in a directive style of coaching, but now you're going to shift over to a more non-directive style of coaching in the same space. One way to add a little non-directive into a teaching situation is to ask a lot of questions. And you can do this with any teaching, any directive teaching. You can always ask a few questions. For example, the I am somebody attitude. Okay, Psalm 139. You made me a delicate inner parts of my body, knit them together in my mother's womb. I thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It's amazing to think about your workmanship. It's marvelous how well I know it. I'm a child of God. Okay, I've been taught all these things. Okay, but now you ask some questions. I could explain, you know, I could give a whole sermon, and I have, on this one concept. How do you give your kids the somebody attitude? And I could, you know, I have a sermon that goes on and on for 30 minutes about this. So I could teach all of that, or I could do a little teaching, but a lot more questions. Like, for example, I'll just give you some. How does Psalm 139 relate to parenting? So I read Psalm 139, talks about how we've been made and how delicate and God saw us and all those things. Okay. But how does that relate to parenting to you? Well, now the client has to go, well, okay. You know, and they have to think for themselves. I don't know exactly what they're going to say, but they're probably going to say something about God and how being a child of God makes you somebody. I don't know. But see, you're helping them answer their own question. Number two, what did your parents do to make you feel like when you feel like you were somebody? What did your parents do? Did they say, you know, when you did something good, did they notice? Did they say, man, was everything performance oriented? You know, they said positive things to you when you did well? And they said negative things when you did poorly so that you think you are somebody only when you do well? Or did they somehow communicate to you that you're special, that you're still my child even though you messed up? That their love was not dependent on your performance. See, now getting the client to think about that is really going to be helpful as they're thinking about what they could or should do with their children. Because if their parents did it, you know, did the whole parenting in a performance-oriented manner, then that's probably what I'm doing now. Okay? So now all of a sudden I realize this. Oh, man. I'm not giving my kids the I am somebody attitude. I'm giving my kids the I am somebody if I perform really well attitude, which is I am not somebody, because we all feel like we fail. Number three, how did you get your sense of self-worth? Well, you know, maybe it was a teacher. I remember my fifth grade teacher, we made a paper mache something or other. I made a paper mache Abraham Lincoln, overcoat and everything. Teacher came by and said, "You are creative." And then walked away. One sentence. Changed my life. From that moment on, from fifth grade on, I thought, I am a creative. I am somebody. I'm creative. God has made me creative. I have been that ever since. I have used that. When I wrote papers in at college, when the teacher said, very interesting, that's what I was looking for. Not an A, not a B, I didn't care. What I wanted was, that's interesting. When I preach a sermon, that's interesting. When I do a class like this, well, that's interesting. Creative. How did you get your sense of self-worth? And how does that now relate to parenting? Your parenting. Number four, what are you positively doing right now to give your kids a sense of self-worth? What am I doing? You know, if you ask me, you know, I have four boys and they're all out of the house, but what am I doing now? That's a really good question. And it forces you to do some really good thinking. And if you come up with a bunch of negative things, then what? Guess what? You're really motivated. You know, I got to change something here. See, that's as a coach. See, that's what I'm helping you, the client, to do, to get motivated about doing something, about changing something. Number five, what are you doing or not doing that hurts your kids' self-worth? Ooh, that's a little painful. What am I doing to hurt my kids' self-worth? See, and if I think of a few things, you know, and I can think of some of my own kids, I don't verbally affirm them enough. My kids do all kinds of great things, but I don't specifically go out of my way to say, you know, I saw this or heard this. Or, you know, I do it every now and again, but why don't I do it more often? See, if you're a coach and you ask that question, it makes me, wow, there's so many things I could do that are simple that I, you know, I could put in an email, I could, why am I not doing this? All of these, now I could teach all these things. Okay, and most parents don't do this right, and most parents don't do that right. They're not encouraging enough, and I can say all these things, but it wouldn't impact you, the client, as much as me asking a few key questions. Number six, where does a sense of self-worth come from? You see how these are kind of deep questions, aren't they? By the way, you know, some of you are looking at these questions going, well, how am I ever figure out all these questions? I mean, you know, they're really good questions, but I don't think I could figure them out. There's a bit of a pattern here. One way when you ask questions is to look at people's past. You know, here's the topic, how were you raised? Or how were you not raised? Or how were you wish you were raised? So it has to do with your own upbringing. Then notice, then I moved on to, well, what are you doing now? What are you doing with your children now? What are you doing in your future now? So if we're talking about a career, I might be asking things like, well, you know, when you were a kid, what was the first job you ever did? What was the first job you ever liked? What did you like about your first job? What didn't you like about your first job? I'm asking questions about your own experience that you've already had. Then as you think towards your future, you see other people in your life. What job looks really cool? What person do you admire? And you wish that maybe you could do something like that. See, I mean, it's very simple. You're looking at the past, you're looking at the present, you're looking at the future. And all the questions sort of resolve around that. So it's really not that hard. Number seven, what would a healthy self-worth look like? So that's kind of a future thing, right? We looked at your parents, how you were raised as a child. We're looking at what you're doing as a parent now. And now we're looking at the future. What would a healthy self-worth look like? Okay, as you think about into the future, what would that look like? So questions, how do you begin this semi-directive coaching process? Well, you teach certain things, give them enough information. You know, I said you might be teaching a class on parenting. But then as you delve into it, you pepper it with questions, past, present, future. And that helps your client own the teaching part of this whole thing. So questions is one good way on the how. In the next session, we'll look at another way.